Welcome back to Count Me In, the podcast focused on management accountants driving business forward. I'm Adam Larson. Coming up, I speak with Ryan Gorel about unlocking the full potential of small businesses through mergers and acquisitions. Ryan is the founder of G-Spire Group, a consultancy focused on companies often overlooked and underserved when it comes to corporate development services. When it comes to M&A, big companies all get the headlines. The reason is pretty simple. A deal worth billions of dollars will always draw more attention than a deal that's only worth millions. This focus has contributed to the perception among many business owners that they're simply too small or inexperienced to participate in M&A. Ryan explains why M&A is a strategic option relevant to virtually every business and highlights the critical role management accountants play in corporate development success. Let's start the conversation. So Ryan, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. We are going to be talking about mergers and acquisitions today. And I was looking at the recent Bain & Company Global Report from 2021, and they were saying that the total transaction value for M&A was an unmatched $5.9 trillion in 2021. So it seems that M&A is on its way back. The last conversation I had about this was back in 2019, and it was much under that number. So maybe to start off, you talk a lot about in your business about the benefits of growing your business, a business through mergers and acquisitions. So maybe you can start by covering what are the benefits.
Sure. Thanks for having me. Yeah, companies can grow through acquisitions for a number of reasons, and it's strategic. You know, really, what is their strategic reason for growing through acquisitions? Yeah, trillions of dollars. I think the M&A market's been really red hot. You know, the market that I serve privately held companies that are on the 10 to 50 million in revenue range. So my transactions that I'm typically working on is way, does not have a B or a T in the title. But I think that, the last couple of years, you've seen a couple of things that are driving M&A activity. One has been the historically low interest rates. So the cost of capital has been, really, really attractive for a buyer to go out and secure debt and even equity, for that matter, to engage in transactions that would involve buying a company as part of their growth strategy. And the various strategic reasons, or I guess categories, if you want to call it that, that a company would really want to look at as part of a growth plan that would involve M&A. You see companies, that I think talent is one, that I've seen companies wanting additional talent and maybe the labor force right now, which it is, it's constrained. So a lot of these companies have all the work that they ever would want, but don't have people in the labor to satisfy it. So, growing through an acquisition to pick up key talent is kind of one strategic motivation. There's other kind of strategic reasons, one being size and scale from a cash flow perspective allows the company to invest more into other certain strategic initiatives. So size also equates to sometimes more value. So if you're a company trying to improve shareholder value, size does impact that value. So you'll see kind of acquisitions as part of, I just want to get bigger and grow. I try to hone in the strategy a little bit more than just let's grow, because you want to make sure the acquisitions are aligned with that strategic importance. But the types of acquisitions you typically see are you're buying a competitor. So that's kind of market share strategy. You see acquisitions that are maybe of a supplier. So you call that vertical. You're trying to own the supplier so you can enhance your own margins. Sometimes you'll see a geographic strategy where a company wants to grow into other geographic areas that are strategic for them, and making an acquisition in those kind of geographies is sometimes the right strategy. And then, really the last one that, and there's a number of reasons, but the other one that comes to mind is, expanding your product and services to your customer base. So if you've got one product, one service that you're offering, maybe your customer is constantly asking you for, hey, do you do X, Y, Z? And you're like, no, we don't do that. Go talk to ABC company. Maybe it's a good strategy to go buy ABC company so you can have another product or service to offer your current customer base. So those are some of the strategic reasons that drive M&A. But I think the trend that you mentioned to start off here was you've got cheap capital. And as you get into bigger transactions, you see, if a public company has a stock price that is historically, very high, sometimes they're using that stock as currency, which is another driver of the activity. So there's a number of reasons, the amount of M&A activity that we've seen. And the last one that I've seen, and more that's more in my market, is you've got kind of an unprecedented amount of baby boomers retiring, and their business is typically their biggest asset. So you're seeing kind of a transfer of wealth from one generation to the next that's occurring because there's a good amount of baby boomers that actually own privately held companies. So you're starting to see that activity happen. And I think that's driving the market too.
Yeah. So there's a lot of great benefits out there as you've just described. And so with somebody looking into get into that, one term that I've heard is corporate development. So why would that matter? Maybe you can start by defining corporate development in terms of M&A. And then why is that beneficial to develop, why does it matter as a small to medium-sized business and you're getting into mergers and acquisitions?
Yeah, so corporate development is really more of a term that you'll see in larger companies. These are companies that have entire departments, corporate development departments, and these departments' sole responsibility is getting the company ready and then sourcing, closing, and integrating acquisitions as on behalf of the entire organization. So they are the M&A team of these larger companies. They're just called corporate development department. In my work, I've seen that service doesn't really exist for those smaller privately held businesses for a couple of reasons. One, it's you can't typically there's not enough resources to hire a full-time corporate development executive, so, and then the other reason why you don't see it much in the smaller privately held company space is they're usually run by owner operators. And these are folks that are really good at running their business. They're really good at managing their employees and customers, and they tend not to have time or capacity to think about M&A and how other partnerships and alliances could be beneficial to them growing. So that's just a capacity challenge. And then there's a lot of these privately held businesses have never gone through a substantial transaction before. So there's a lack of capacity and there's a lack of really kind of maybe know-how of going through a process of going out and acquiring a business and making sure that you do all the things that need to go into that transaction. So why does it matter? I think there's a big opportunity for these smaller businesses, and I define them as 10, 5 to 10 up to 50 million in revenue is kind of the companies I typically am working with. And a couple things that I see and that gets me really excited about bringing corporate development down to lower middle market is one, the amount of value that can be enhanced with an acquisition is pretty substantial for a smaller business. If you're, running a flooring company that is a $10 million revenue, maybe you're doing roughly, $1 million of EBITDA or cash flow, might be worth $4 or $5 million. What happens as you get bigger from this size is, let's say we go out and make a couple acquisitions that involve, $500,000 cash flow businesses. So let's say we do two and we get to 2 million of annual regular cash flow. Well, that multiple just went from 4 or 5 to 6 or 7. And the multiple goes up due to a couple of reasons. One, there's a lot of buyers looking for those bigger cash flowing businesses. Two, the size of your organization requires you to professionalize the business, which a lot of times these transactions will remove the owner operator from being the business being so reliant on the owner operator and moving them. Really, I call it, you know, it's transforming business owners into more of a CEO. And that process also improves the value of the business, because a buyer typically wants to see the organization be, you know, efficiently run, no reliances, things that they would, if the seller, the main owner, goes away, they still want to see the asset perform. So bringing corporate development or helping companies grow through acquisitions is both a value enhancer. It's a lifestyle enhancer to a lot of my clients. You know, they do want to get out of the weeds and move into more of a CEO strategic role. And those are, you know, a lot of times the main drivers. And then the third, it's a risk management. You know, if you're on the smaller end and a COVID hits and, you know, stuff comes to a halt, you know, business is at risk of going under. The bigger you are, the thought would be, hopefully you've got a more diversified customer base. You've got more cash flow. Hopefully you've done some more retainer. If you've done a good job retaining earnings and maybe you got some cash, something like COVID hits, the risk of you going down is perceived to be less. And so those are the main reasons why it is relevant to these privately held companies.
So where does the accounting and finance professional play into this? You know, it sounds like they would be part of that corporate development team in the bigger organizations. But if you get down to the smaller organizations, sometimes your accounting and finance team is one or two people, is your CFO who has a number, who wears a number of hats. Can maybe we talk about where the accounting and finance team comes into play? Because mergers and acquisitions have to do with transactions and money. And that's your accounting and finance team is helping analyze that, you know, making sure everything's in place. And so maybe we can discuss that a little bit.
Absolutely. So corporate development, it supplements and helps the accounting finance function, you know, and there has to be a lot of collaboration. So a lot of the strategy and the growth and the projections that go into creating a good M&A plan largely is coming out of the financial side of the business. And when I first start kind of in onboarding a new client, the first thing I start with is understanding their vision and their strategy, but also, you know, are there areas within the business that really need to be shored up before we actually go out and combine company A and company B, you know, and largely, and this has happened, you know, the financial function is not, you know, maybe it's understaffed or there's certain things about the finance function that isn't ready, you know, reporting, what have you. You know, those are things that are hugely valuable and needed as part of growing through an acquisition. So having a good accounting and finance team already in place, having good management controls, good reporting, all of those things are super helpful and needed to for me to jump off and go do my work and go find a company to buy and do all that stuff. The other place is, you know, once you do locate a company and you have a conversation, you go under letter of interest, there's a due diligence process on the target company. And a big chunk of the due diligence is financial. There's plenty of other stuff that goes into due diligence, but the financial piece is big. So having a strong accounting and finance team that has the capacity as well, so fully built out to not only continue to run, you know, the accounting and finance controls of the business ongoing, now they're asked to help with some due diligence process. So, you know, having folks that are strong, both, you know, on the reporting, but also the finance side, the projections and understanding how to talk to capital, is a huge component. And then the last part is, you know, now we combine companies. The accounting and finance team, maybe they were combining departments. So now we have to create new processes, new procedures, new reporting. Everything kind of has to get pulled into one. And again, I think, having strong accounting finance function is probably one of the most important things you can have if your company is growing through an acquisition.
So that really makes sense of where you've shown how the accounting and finance team kind of fit into that. But when you have the smaller organizations and, what you do in your organization, how do you kind of fit in the midst of all of the accounting and finance team, their corporate development, where do you fit into that as you're helping organizations?
So what I do with my clients is I come in as a fractional executive, and it's a fractional corporate development executive, if you want to call it that, but I'm coming in as part of the management team to specifically drive the strategy and execution of their M&A strategy. I'm not coming in and, doing accounting and finance. That's not my role. I work closely with accounting and finance, and there has to be a good partnership there. Of course, there's a large chunk of accounting and finance that I don't do, and it's just not my lane, if you will. So as a fractional executive, it's really important as I come in to understand everyone's roles and responsibilities, who's doing what. There is a little bit of a overlap with the work that I do initially with my clients, which is really more of a strategy and projection exercise. It's where are we going? How are we going to get there? What's the projections look like? A lot of times that's being done by the CFO. Sometimes I'm being asked to help the CFO prepare those projections. So if there's a capacity challenge with the existing team. So it's really a collaborative arrangement across not just accounting and finance, but all the other executives that are involved in management that are involved in my clients. It's a team-based approach. And, there's a lot of the corporate development work that I'm doing that I think most accountants and CFOs don't want to do. It's building the corporate development plan, the target list, doing the outreach, negotiating structures, some of the real kind of heavy lifting on going out and finding companies to buy.
Yeah.
So it's very complimentary, and that's how I typically work with my clients.
That's great. So something that came to mind as you were talking, how important are strong internal controls within an organization as you're looking to do mergers and acquisitions? I know, as IMA members know, internal controls are hugely important within an organization, but I can only imagine they can be even more important as you're going into a merger and acquisition.
Yeah, it's imperative because you and your listeners know that it is super valuable, and it's a risk management thing of the business. And if you don't have it right, you've got gaps, you're not, there's a systemic risk to the organization.
Yeah.
And as I come in and I look at that, if there's systemic risk of internal controls, it doesn't make any sense to go out and find a company and put them together when there's that big of risk and holes to be filled. So a lot of times what I will do is as I start my process moving down the road of executing an M&A strategy, I'm working with leadership teams and management teams and finance and accounting. If there are risks such as internal controls that we need to shore it up before we actually transact. And there's usually a long runway between when I engage with a client and we actually close on a deal. There can be up to, 6, 9, 12 months sometimes before we actually get there. So we have time to shore up some of that stuff. And a lot of times, even if let's say I work with a client, we don't find something to buy right away. Some of this work is still valuable. It's like, hey, let's shore this up to get ready for an acquisition, but this probably should already be done anyway. Me coming in initially is some of my clients will say it's just a third set of eyes just to, what kind of questions am I asking? And it can be valuable just to have an objective onlooker to make sure everything's, being done and operating the way it should be.
Yeah. So regardless of the benefits, you need to make sure your house is in order before you can start looking, basically.
Exactly.
This has been Count Me In, IMA's podcast, providing you with the latest perspectives of thought leaders from the accounting and finance profession. If you like what you heard and you'd like to be counted in for more relevant accounting and finance education, visit IMA's website at www.imanet.org.